Wanted to talk a little bit today about fear, but really I also want to get you guys engaged and to communicate and things with me too, and this will go a lot smoother and quicker for you guys as well. So I think one of the places I'd like to start is if you guys can share with me some of the things in your lives that cause you concern or fear and things like that. You know, whether it be meeting new people, whether it be, you know, maybe having a relationship with in a new school, whether it be getting ready to making plans for college and where do you want to be when you grow up? What is it that causes fear? So why don't we just go around the room and I'll kind of jot down what I hear and you can either volunteer or I can call on you. It's up to you. Max. You don't know? You're not scared of anything? Okay. We'll finish with you then.
Heights.
Pardon?
Heights.
Okay. Blake? You scared of your dad?
That's a good thing.
That's a little healthy fear is always good. Andrew? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mateo? Yeah, me too. Simon? Absolutely. How about you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. New school, new country, new home, new family. Mm-hmm. Sure. How about you, Christine? Yeah. Yeah. Bob? Spiders? Yeah. How about you? I'm sorry. Friendships? Yeah. How about you, Joe? Failing? Being put on the spot? Yeah. Natalie? Mm-hmm. 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 Sure. How about you, Grace? Pardon? Darkness? Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Well, as you guys can kind of see, there's a pretty common pattern as we look through and what everybody has is fears. You know, mine growing up has always been a fear of failure. And I also struggled reading growing up in school. And so I almost was held back, and I was been in the same grade as my sister Rebecca when I was probably in fourth or fifth grade. And so as a result, anytime I was in a situation where I could potentially, or I felt like I looked stupid, you know, I'd never speak up. It was always easy to kind of fly under the radar and not put myself in one of those positions. So. You know, so I had a fear of what other people or what I perceived other people thought of me. Can you guys relate to that as well? you know, wanting to make sure you fit in. You don't want other people, you don't want to stand out. You don't want to be the center of attention. You know, like the center of attention. There we go. He does not have that fear, does he? No. You know, as an adult too, I think raising your kids, making sure they know what's wrong and right and how you're doing, and making sure you guys have an understanding of God and Jesus Christ. Disappointing people, disappointing my parents growing up was a really big fear for me. Disappointing God. Am I doing things that cause Him not to want to love me? You know, that was always a big fear of mine. Still can be. It still can be. Am I doing things that God's going to disapprove of? Fear of death. You know, I gave a Bible study about 3 years ago and related to fear for the adults, and it was right after my dad had passed away. And so that was really on my heart back then at that point in time, was that fear of death and losing somebody that you love. But fear is I think normal and a part of our human existence and life, but it doesn't need to run in your lives. And that's kind of what I wanted to make sure we can talk through today and hopefully give you guys some tools to not allow it to be as impactful, as overbearing in your lives. And, you know, this is one of these things I wish I would have been taught a long time ago, because fear has been so impactful for me, and not in a positive way. You know, one of the other things is fear of loneliness or intimacy. Just, you know, friendship. Friendship can be hard. Family can be hard. Relationships can be hard. And making sure that you're loving others, right? That's one of the great commands. Love others is love yourself. But that can be difficult to do. So where do you guys put your trust? What does trust look like? Yeah. So trust in God, and then also trust in your parents.
Yeah, but like if you're working, like you trust in God, then you can rely on
your parents. Right. What else? Where do you guys put your trust? You guys put your trust in yourself? Trust in your own ability to overcome? Yeah, maybe, no? Where do you put your trust, Simon?
My parents, myself, God, and
friends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that ever, do you ever get disappointed? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do people look and have a tendency to let you down on occasion? Yeah. And is that scary? It can be frustrating, and then it can cause some fresh anger and some things like that, perhaps, too, in situations where you trusted that individual. Has God ever let you down? No? Maybe? Yeah? Yeah? Would you care sharing, or is that something you'd rather not?
Mm-hmm. And like I trusted in God that He like provide that she's in help for herself.
Mm-hmm. So they made a choice to go to a different location. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a possibility that maybe that's the place that God wanted them to be? Yeah. But just because it's what we pray and ask for doesn't mean it's what God thinks is best, though, too, right? And that can be hard. That can be real hard. Because our ways aren't His, are they? He knows what's best all the time. Do you guys you guys think it's possible to have be fearful of something and thankful of something at the same time?
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. Like what? So just fear of the that big of an adventure or
no,
the
like I'm fear of heights, so when we went on the ride.
Okay.
Like I was scared because I was just scared because I think I was always gonna crash. So like mm-hmm. I was scared of that. But like if somebody from like beside you who you can trust in a lion beside you, like it's like nothing. Like I'm not as scared if I would go by myself.
Yeah. So were you then thankful?
Yeah.
As well?
Yeah, because I was thankful after that because like we all have fun hanging out with it. And like at the same time I still scared of fun for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My experience has been, and if I focus on the things that I'm thankful for and the situations that I'm fearful of, it's really hard for me to be focusing on my fears. You know, for example, a fear of public speaking, meeting new relationships, those sort of things. There's always opportunity for you to focus and dwell on the things that are positive at these experiences and the potential outcomes of those things that it makes it difficult to be scared and fearful during those situations and those times. One of the things that I spent a lot of time on is Philippians 4:8. And that's what, it's the acronym that we use in our local group. It's called Thirple Rep. And it's the things that are true and honorable and right, pure and lovely and excellent. Praiseworthy, I forgot one. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, reputable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And when we dwell on those things, what is the outcome of that? You know what the outcome of those end up being? It's peace, right? You'll experience peace. What does peace look like in your lives? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. What else? I'm sorry? Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that's really important because when you have peace and you have the ability to dwell on peace and dwell on the things that are true and the things that are honorable and the things that are right and pure and lovely and reputable and excellent and praiseworthy, you know, I think where that peace comes from is Jesus Christ and the Spirit. And when you're dwelling there, it's really hard to be upset. You can be in a fearful situation, but that peace will overcome that. It'll help you guys overcome. And overcoming is huge. It's an action. You got to be looking for these opportunities to overcome this, to practice these things. You know, we've heard in several other messages this week, you got to practice, practice, practice. And so I would encourage you when you guys are going through a situation and you're feeling some fear to what's true about this situation. And I have some of these sheets that I printed out that I'd like to give you guys before we leave today. But so frequently we dwell on not the things that are true, but the things that are false, the opposite of these. And you know what? I'm going to hand these out right now. I think this would be good to... Each grab one of those. Each grab one of those. Is there enough? Mm-hmm. What we have here is on one side in the green are all the things that are part of Therple Rep or Philippians 4:8. And on the opposite side are the opposites of those. And I think many times, instead of the things being true or factual or correct, what we do is we dwell on the things that are false or incorrect or wrong. And as a result, you're upset. As a result, you have fear. As a result, you're negativity. Honorable. What's the opposite of honorable or moral or decent? The opposite of that is shameful, disgraceful, vile. Does that make sense? And so when you're looking through a situation, you know, the goal is to experience peace, not fear. And this is, these are ways that you can accomplish that. This has been really impactful for me in my world in this last year. My brother and I and our company went through a really, really hard lawsuit. We thought we were going to lose our company. My stress level was so high. Stress for me in my life equates to fear. Fear causes me stress. And so, anger is a part of an outcome for me when it comes to fear. That's how I deal with it, is I get angry. And so going through this exercise, though, in this lawsuit, I was able to find the things that are true and find the things that were honorable and right and pure. And so it helped me to experience peace in the midst of something that was pretty scary and something that was unknown. I didn't understand what the outcome could potentially be. So it was just an experience with me that these actually can work and help you guys to experience peace from Philippians 4:8. But I, you know, as we continue down here, something that's pure, clean, untainted, wholesome, you know, the opposite of that is corrupt or immoral. Excuse me, I said tainted, but untainted is on the pure side, and then tainted on the opposite end. Things that are lovely or friendly towards, or beautiful, attractive. What's the opposite of that? Spiteful, nasty, unfriendly, obnoxious, bad. Things that are reputable, trustworthy, or sound. Things that are notorious, infamous, scandalous, disgraceful. Excellent. Things that are outstanding, brilliant, exceptional, admirable. The opposite of that can be terrible, awful, dreadful, rotten. You know, where are you dwelling? What's going on in your life, and where are you? Where's your focus? It's really something important when you're feeling fearful, when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling uncertain. Does that make sense? You know, this is a teen Bible study, but do any of your adults have experiences with this, that some, you know, hope or strength or experience that you could share with the teens related to this at this point? Don? Absolutely. Well, and it's a great example too, because what had David done prior before he faced Goliath? What had he fought before and overcame? Is remember? Mm-hmm. Lion? A bear? Right? And so he had experience, right? he had accomplished, he had gone up against something and overcame. And so he had experience, he had the ability to rely on that pass, and he had a lot on the line fighting Goliath too, didn't he? So, but, you know, what are the Goliaths in your lives that you guys are trying to overcome? You know, college and making the decision on what your future looks like in things. One of the other exercises that I do on a regular basis, and I didn't realize how often I stopped halfway through this process, but what's the worst case scenario? You guys ever consider that when you're up against something that's causing you fear? What's the worst case that could happen? All right, so let's say in your situation of college, you're trying to decide if you want to be a what your career could be, and then as a result of that, you choose the classes to take in order to go down that career path, right? Is that kind of the thought process where you're at now? So let's say you choose a path and you get down that road a couple years, and what's the worst case scenario that could happen? Okay, and that's correct. And then do you stop there, or do you say, okay, so then what do you do? Right? And what does that look like? What do you do then? Take different classes. And then, so what's the worst case of all that? A couple more years in school. Maybe there's some additional student loans involved, or whatever the case may be there, or maybe there were scholarships that you had to reapply for or something along those lines, right? So what, right? That's not our goal, right? We don't want to be going about things without thinking through the potentials and making decisions based on that. But when you said, you know, I'll hate it, what I used to do in these situations, like, for example, with this lawsuit that we were dealing with in our company, I'd stopped at the point where if we lose this, this is going to be the impact on our company financially. And our 73 staff, we may be 20 people. I'm going to have to fire all these people. And then I stopped. I didn't say, but what if we win? Or if we did do that, how could we change these 15 things over here and be able to make up a vast majority of that potential money loss and not have to do all these things? I stopped at that worst case and said, oh man, I don't know what to do. And then I got stressed out. I got fearful is what happened. And I didn't finish the process. You know, I didn't finish the race. We're supposed to finish the race. We're supposed to stay focused and finish what we start. Let's walk through another example of this. What are some of the other things? You know, a new school and meeting new people. I think quite a few of you had brought that up. You know, what is it? What do you do when you meet somebody new?
Hello.
There you go. Right? Right. And what causes the fear? Well, maybe you guys won't hit it off. Maybe they won't like you. You won't like them. It'll be uncomfortable. Is that kind of the situation? What's that, Slava? No? Okay. Go ahead, Johnny. Absolutely. Takes away that power from them, from Satan, and accusing us of being. Yeah, you know, it's fearful asking for help. Did what Johnny said make sense to you guys? Yeah. I mean, when you're able to share what's on your heart, and these are the things that I'm struggling with, all of my, I'll just say true friends, people that really care about me and want to help me overcome or help me through a situation that's tough, they've been there for me every time I brought those things forward. Usually their first response is a little taken back by my honesty and asking for help, and it's because this world, it's not set up that way right now. You know, what you're taught and the way, but just by the world and the people in the world, and that is that if you share, if you ask for help, that's a sign of weakness. That's not true. Asking for help is a sign of strength, because we need to be fellowshipping with one another and supporting one another and encouraging one another. In Josiah 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed in the Lord your God." We're supposed to be courageous and overcome through these things. And when you're in these situations where you're uncertain. Many of us have already been there. And that's one of the other lies that I think Satan's gotten really good at, is he wants us to isolate. He wants us to not go out and ask for assistance, ask for help, share with your buddy, share with your girlfriends or boyfriends and or your parents or people that care about you and you care about them. They want you to say, or Satan will accuse you and say, "Simon, you're the only person that's dealing with this. And if you share it, they're going to look down on you." Kind of like what Johnny was saying. But we've got a men's group back in Scotts Bluff. There's 8 of us, 9 of us now. I honestly don't have any secrets with that group. And what's interesting is that when I bring something up that's bugging me, half, sometimes all of them say, "I've dealt with that," or "I'm dealing with that right now too." Whatever the case may be, and it's encouraging. It's encouraging to hear you're not alone in these situations. Do you guys share things with your brothers, with your family, with your friends, or do you kind of keep things pretty close and quiet right now? Question, answer, question, answer. Andrew. Huh? Both? Yep. How about you, Bob? How about you, Chris? Both? Good. Girls, how about you? From what perspective? When you don't want to talk about it, is it usually fear that's causing you to not, or do you have a sense for that? And if I'm asking personal questions, just tell me and I'll. It's okay. just through personality. I do. Yeah. But, well, we can talk more about that later, son. But, no. I hear what you're saying, for sure. I mean, there's that concern that you're going to cause someone else to get in trouble or yourself in trouble and things. But I know my approach on those things is that if you come to me and you're honest and you're upfront, it's not going to be a situation of anger. It's going to be a situation of, I appreciate you coming for help, because guess what? Go ahead and plug your ears, adults. We've all been there and done stupid things too. All right? But let us share our experience and help. Our goal is to help you not go through the same struggles and have the same issues that we did. Right? There's certain things you're going to just have to learn on your own, and we're going to allow you to learn some of those things on your own, and it's going to be painful on occasion, but that's what causes you to have those experiences and the ability to overcome. So you have to experience those things. So, what other examples? Emily. But you know, don't you? You know which ones you trust enough, and that will, whatever you share is gonna take care of your heart, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, Gene. Thanks, Gina. Yeah, go ahead, Don. Absolutely. One of the things that I think really, really important through this process too is that, you know, most of you who, you spend your time with the people you enjoy being around and most, you know, they're your closest friends and things. And how many of you know when your close friends are struggling with something? You may not know what it is, but how often can you recognize it? Frequently? And do you usually know? Or your brother, your sibling? How often do you go up and ask the question, are you okay? What's wrong? How can I help you? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Yeah. They're not, they don't want to share. Yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah. Why do you think that is? Are they, you know, they're fearful of sharing? Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, so speak encouraging words to one another, build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. One of the things that I think is a big issue in today's culture is a lack of encouragement for one another. And the lack, especially in the youth. It just appears to me like just always one-upping. You guys understand that term? You know what? If you can do this, watch me. I'm that much better. Rather than encourage and say, good job. You're awesome at this. How can I help you? You did a great job and with whatever it was. You kicked a goal. You blocked a goal. You got a good grade on your math. You just simply passed the test. That was where I was at in school. You know what? D equal degree for me, right? Blake, I'm teasing. That encourage one another. We need encouragement. Nothing. There's many things that are better. Mainly, you know, spending time with the Lord and in prayer and things. But to have somebody tell you, "I'm proud of you. You did a good job." How many of you enjoy hearing that? Absolutely. It is huge in your life to be able to do that, to hear that. But you know what? It's almost better, from my perspective, just to be able to share that with someone else. It is better to give than receive. You guys believe that? Question? Answer. No? No, I appreciate your honesty because you know what? That's what it's all about. I get it. Sometimes your perception is you'd rather receive than give. Is that what you're saying? Do you guys feel the same way? Sometimes it's better to receive than to give? Or is it better to give? But I appreciate your honesty because I understand what you're saying. I mean, there's times where it's sure this, we're a world of consumers. We want to consume, we focus on things in this world. We focus on cars and motorcycles. Adventure and those kind of things, and it's great when people give you these things to go do. But when you look at your fellow, you know, believers, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, and you have an opportunity to give them something that you know they're going to appreciate and like, I highly recommend you try it and just focus on the way it makes them feel. and then in turn the way you feel. It's incredible. And what that does too is it helps them trust and know that when they have a problem and they want to talk about what's going on in their world and the things that they're struggling with, they'll trust that you're not going to hurt them. Emily, did you have a question? Great example. What other thoughts or comments, guys? Adults, you have anything to add here? Johnny? What? Experience that too. Becca. you know, we haven't talked at all about the power of prayer either. And I think, and that's kind of where I want to finish things up today, is that, you know, you guys, you may come to these things, and probably many of you may not be baptized yet. I, you know, some of you are. You may hear that, well, if I haven't been baptized, I don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, and you might think, well, then they may not listen to my prayers, or they may not hear my prayers and things, and that's not true. Do not hesitate to ask for help from God in Jesus Christ. Ask for strength. Ask for courage. Ask for the ability to overcome these things when you're feeling fearful. That is a prayer that will be answered. It feels different. It may not be answered like your example that you wanted your friend to come to this feast site. They went somewhere else. It may not be answered in the same way you think you want it, but it will be answered. Many times we don't see that for a while, what that answer was. But don't hesitate to bow your head. Or you know what? Sometimes it's a crying out. It's not a bowing your head. It's a, God, I am scared to death. I don't know what to do. Help me. Help me have courage in this situation. That prayer can be answered. It will be answered. It's awesome. And don't, and then be thankful. Be thankful for the situations that you've struggled with and that you've overcome. Don't forget about those areas you've overcome. We need to recall those things, because so frequently we dwell on those things that are struggles for us, not that we're successful at. Right? You know, anyway, I struggled at reading. So guess what? I never talked about what I was good at, which was math and science. I was really good at lunch. But you know, so that's where I dwelled. I dwelled on the things that I was not good at. So just want to encourage you guys to reach out, ask for help. Don't stop at the worst case scenario of, man, this is not going to be good. This is going to be terrible. Don't stop there. Play it out. What's the worst? Almost never has worst case scenario happened in my life. Almost never. And if it did, was it really that bad? No, it's not bad. It's not been at all. It's part of the experiences that make me who I am and that give me the ability to encourage others when they're going through the exact same thing. Because we need it. We all need that encouragement. We all need to be able to look at our friends or people that we may only see once a year at the feast and say, you know what, last year I remember you saying that you were struggling on a Sophia to decide where you're going to go to college and things. How are you doing? How's your year going? Doesn't that feel great to have somebody say, you know what, they listened to me, they cared about me, they want to know how I'm doing. That feels so good. That's that, you know, we were talking earlier about giving instead of taking. That's a perfect and simple example of that. That make sense? What other thoughts or questions, guys? It's kind of what I wanted to share today. Helpful? Some practical tools and opportunities to try to help overcome some of your fears. Yeah. And thanks for sharing that. I mean, what a great example for the rest of them to hear about the success that came as a result of you asking. Because that's what I heard you describe. I agree 100%, Father. Right. Right. Any other comments from the adults? No? Yeah, Maria. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm finally learned in my relationship with my wife that sometimes she doesn't want my advice at all. She just wants me to listen. And it is exceptionally good for her to be able to just voice her concerns or frustrations or the things that she is just ecstatic about and happy about. And then to be able to, you know, love her, pray with her, ask her if there's anything that I can do to help. And then, you know, sometimes I'll have some thoughts to help her overcome, and I'll ask, say, hey, I have a few thoughts. Would you like me to share? And sometimes she says no. And that was hard for me to hear to begin with. I was like, well, why wouldn't you want me to fix you? Right? But that's not the point. It's not the point. So it's not my nail to pull out. It's right? I don't know if you guys have seen that imagery. Okay. Good point. Thank you. Anything else? Yes. I've gone through that a lot. I've got very, very few good friends, and I have a lot of friendly acquaintances in my life. And the distinction that it was as hard as it was for me was is the ability to choose who's going to protect my heart, who truly cares, and it's hard. It is hard. But when you overcome, because you will, then you'll have the opportunity to share your experience and your hope with somebody else who's going through the same thing. That's awesome. Thank you for having the courage to share what you did. Because I think that's part of the other thing, too, is that it helps when you can verbalize what you're dealing with. It helps you not just, it just brews inside, doesn't it? And it just, you kind of get in this spiral of fear and doubt and uncertainty. And then if you can verbalize it and hear other people and they're dealing with the same thing. You might have been here and you're probably the only one that's ever dealt with this, but you're not. You're not at all. Thank you.